I'm here to guide you. Now you're on your own. Only me beside you. Still you're not alone. No one is alone. Truly, no one is alone.
Sometimes people leave you halfway through the world. Others may deceive you. You decide what's good.
You decide alone, but no one is alone.
People make mistakes. Fathers, mothers, people make mistakes. Holding to their own, thinking they're alone.
Honor their mistakes. Everybody makes one another's terrible mistakes. Witches can be right.
Giants can be good.
You decide what's right. You decide what's good. Just remember.
Just remember. Someone is on your side, our side. Someone else is not.
While you're seeing your side, our side. We are not alone. No one is alone.
Hard to see the light now.
Just don't let it go. Things will come out right now. We can make it so.
How are you now? Oh. And then there was sound. Hi, everybody. For those of you I haven't met, my name is Ken Daigle. And I, in so many ways, grew up here. Grew up in Unity of Newark. Decided to, as the song that they just sang said, admit I made mistakes and own them. Sometimes that is the most painful thing we can do, right? But why we think we're the only ones is astonishing, right? How many people here have made a mistake, right? Have we all recovered from those mistakes? But the biggest question is, have we forgiven ourselves for them? Because when we don't forgive ourselves for being fully human and stumbling, we ignore the lesson. We think somehow that we are fundamentally flawed, that we're bad. Not that we did something bad, but that toxic shame can eat away at our soul. Now, there is a paradox here. You are divinely made. You are a miraculous expression of the one power. And at the same time, we can feel crippled. We can feel unworthy. We can feel like the scum of the earth. When I walked into Unity San Francisco on Cebut Street, yeah, the Cebut Center on 29th Street. I used to run down the street, literally run down the street to get there to sing Use Me. Because Sunday morning was not the same unless I was with you all to stand up and sing Use Me. Use me, please. Use me. Because I had just come out of rehab. I had just come out of a 29-day program, and I had found Unity years before and stumbled through my life with a little bit of teachings, a little bit of understanding, and as we all know, a little bit of truth is a dangerous thing, right? Because we can sometimes turn it in on ourselves, and we forget that we're not alone. Right after that, I had found Unity of New York for the second time, and all of you, I got a phone call from my dad. And I wasn't speaking to him at the time, but that's a story you're not getting today. But it was where I needed to be at the place for that time, for my healing. And he called me because my sister had been using, and he was scared for her life, and he wanted my help in finding help for her. So, of course, I took the phone call, and we talked, and we figured out a plan, and because of the gift of abundance, we had enough money to send her to the same private retreat center, the rehab center that I had gone to 2 years prior. And so I met her at the airport. She lives in Louisiana, and I met her at the airport, and when my baby sister got off the plane. She was 90 pounds. She was missing teeth. She was green. And I was so scared. And I walked with her. We went and got clothes and food. And I drove her to Pennsylvania to the rehab center. And I listened. And I walked the walk with her during that time. And my father called me somewhere in the middle of her treatment and said, I'm so concerned about Cindy. I'm so concerned about her because she's all alone. And I had enough awareness to say, no, Dad, she's not. No matter what's going on in her life, Cindy is not alone. She's got God. She's got the infinite, infinite power of the divine right there within her. And the infinite connection to wisdom. So, do you remember the first time you walked into Unity? Do you remember that day like I do? My first time in Unity was at A.F. Fisher Hall. And I walked in and I was astonished. I was blown away by the diversity of the people in the room, by the energy of the room itself. I mean, there was everyone there. There were people of every color, of every nation, of every age, of every background, all coming together to celebrate truth. That was not my experience of church growing up. I grew up in the suburbs of Louisiana, in a very white, privileged, middle-class neighborhood. And New York was home. In walking into Unity in New York, I found home. I found where I belonged and where I felt comfortable because I had often felt so not right. There was something wrong with me. And the nuns and the teachers and everyone else was more than happy to point that out during the time. And so was my father at times during that and part of the journey that you're not hearing today. So I'll skip that part. But I internalized that shame, that not rightness, that not good enoughness. And it shifted a little bit when I walked into Unity at Avery Fisher Hall that day. And I heard the message that I was beloved child of God. That I was divinely made divinely inspired, and a blessing to the world. Whoa. I couldn't play small anymore. And as Marianne Williamson has told us, you're playing small doesn't serve the world. You were born to shine the magnificence that you are. You were here to elevate the conversation. You are here to lift others. You are here to take care of people who can't get up in the moment, but not to treat them as broken, but just to help them up to realize who they really are. Each and every one of us is the divine expression. No matter what they tell you, no matter what they say, you are glorious. You are a miracle. You are perfect. 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 And your being here is enough. Nothing you need to do. Nothing you need to accomplish. And certainly nothing you need to atone for. Just show up. And lift someone with your undivided attention. How many people here would like someone to listen to? Really listen to them. Just sit there and listen to what you have to say. How many of you want that? How many of you long for it in your life? Then do it for someone. Go meet with a friend. Just listen. And every time you're tempted to say something, say, tell me more. Can you explain what that means? How does that feel? I get the pleasure of doing that with my children. My daughter Roma is now 4, sitting there coloring mermaids. Fabulous mermaids. And there's mermaid books in the back, if anyone wants one. They're divine. And every day, my lesson is to do that with her. To stop thinking that there's something I'm supposed to pour into her, but to realize there is something I'm supposed to be with her. Present. Present for this beautiful godlight growing stronger and stronger and stronger every day. You know, in this climate, in this week, I was traveling last weekend for a family wedding. One of the benefits of my job is I get to marry my family now. I married my second nephew this year. And as we were celebrating down in Atlanta, the world seemed to come apart again. And so I wasn't with my home church. Paul Hasselbeck, I know you all, many of you know Paul Hasselbeck, was speaking for me in San Francisco. And I watched the tape when I was finished with the family wedding, and I watched the event, and I was astonished, because we didn't mention that 32 people had been gunned down. Now, they may have watched it at a different part of the service that I didn't review on live stream. But 32 people last week killed by irrational gun violence. And how do we match that teaching that I just expressed? Your presence here is glorious. It's a magnificent expression. Every single one of us is a gift, including those two shooters. Right? I can't exclude anyone from that, including those two shooters. If principle is truth, they are also divine expressions, making a mistake. Making a horrible mistake. So my condemnation piled upon them won't heal the situation. My condemnation of the right-wing hate groups or the left-wing hate groups or any hate groups that foster this won't heal the situation. As Dr. King taught us decades ago, hate will not wipe out hate. Only love will do that. But why don't we love? Why is our first response always anger? Why is our default position to blame, to judge, to ridicule? It is so easy to make fun of some of our politicians because it hurts us to look at their humanity. It takes more effort to find the divine in someone that we have labeled bad, wrong, evil, sick. Well, how would you respond to being called that? I was called it all my life. To come to a place where I could be fully myself, married to a man, having children, and tell you about it as being celebrated was a long journey for this human being to shed that shame. If we continue to call other people out as bad and evil, the world will not change. And do we want the world to change? God, yes. God, yes, I am the divinity. I am the face, the voice, the hands, the heart of the divine right here and right now. So are each and every one of you. And until we stop giving lip service to the songs we sing, lip service to the affirmations we say, and actually sit down with people who we think we hate and love them, the world will not change. It won't. I wish I were wrong, because it's not easy. It is really good. Carlos used to say this all the time. You get no points for being nice to people in here. I can still hear him on this stage saying it. You get no points for being nice to people here. If we want the world to be different, we have to be nice to the people we think are against us. We have to be nice to the people we think are evil, because it's only a thought. Is it true, the thoughts you think about yourself? How many people say, oh, that was such a stupid thing I did? Yeah, right. How many people do that about things you did 20 years ago? Right? How many people do that about things that are so long past? Right? We can stop the negative chatter. And here's the key. You can't stop it. It will still come up. But when you elevate your consciousness, when you elevate the discussion, when you elevate the opportunity, you get to forgive yourself and go, I'm going to readjust that. So when you hear yourself condemning yourself, say, I forgive me. I know I was doing the best I could at the moment. And today, I know better. When you're in the middle of a conversation with someone else, and you hear yourself giving advice, choosing to share your opinion, elevate and ask, how does that feel for you? Have you ever been in this situation before? How might you get out of it? Don't add, subtract, subtract, and let people's divinity rise. Elevate by leaving room for them to heal. That's what our prayer chaplains do. Looking at Robert, remembering all the years as prayer chaplains, right? They don't fix. They elevate the consciousness we're living in. And I was having this discussion earlier. The way to heal is to change our story. Change our story from victim to victor. So if you are the victim of our nation's politics,
or you are the victim of your circumstance, if you are the victim of your spouse, or you are the victim of your job or your boss, the way to change that is to change the story. I am the victor by changing the dynamic. I am the victor by changing how I respond to someone's words to me or about me. I am the victor when I can look at a tweet and see a cry for pain and respond with love. I am the victor when I can look at my primary relationship and not see what they're trying to do to me, but what they do for me every day, and respond from wholeness, from the deep well of who I am. So this weekend, after once again the horrific mass shootings, which have numbed us all, so that it doesn't even make a blip in our consciousness anymore, except it hurts like hell to be living in a world where people can be gunned down by a machine gun and we pretend like it's just another day. That's not normal. It's not normal. And we can say it hurts my heart that this is what our country has become. We can say that I don't care who is president. I don't care who controls the politics of this nation. This isn't a partisan conversation. It is a political one. That it's okay for us to hate each other is a political choice. And we can take ourselves out of the victims of that and make ourselves the victors by saying, there is no separation in God. To elevate ourselves and claim our spiritual and moral authority, right? I started this by saying you are divine. You are divinely made. You are an expression of God right here. And you have full access to divine wisdom. You don't need clergy, sorry Britt. You don't need any of us to do it. You have the infinite supply.
It's okay.
God. From the God voice, right? You have unlimited access and you have spiritual authority. So I'm calling on all of us, myself included, to lift ourselves up, to elevate the conversation, and to exercise that authority. That authority that tells us that spiritually, there is no one other than us. There's only one of us, one begotten child. One begotten expression of humanity, one begotten. And you may look like you're a white woman, you may look like you're a Latina, you may look like you're a person of color, but that is just an appearance. You may look like you're separate from me, but you're not. Our energy, our consciousness is all mingling together. And that what we do to the least, we do to all. And if you think of a politician as the least, doing it to ourselves. So claim your spiritual authority. Lift up, elevate the conversation, and say, I choose love today. I choose to love Donald Trump, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell. I hear gasps. See how hard it is. Are they not the expression of the divine? And if we believe they're making a mistake, how do we heal that? By changing ourselves from not their victim. I refuse to be the victim of any politician. I am the spiritual master. You are the spiritual master. Jesus, in front of Herod, said love. Now, at the time, there was no such thing as free speech. We can say what we want. We can choose to tweet, to stand on a pulpit and talk. We can go on Facebook, we can write a blog, we can speak in myriad ways. Choose your words carefully, elevate them, and lift the planet. I'm counting on you. Thank you. So when a thought arises of lack or limitation, of hate, of evil, allow it to pass through you. Allow it to go on its way. And forgive the source. For an error is just whether the error be ours or others. Remember, in truth, there is only one. One divine presence. One moment in time. So we breathe once again into this now. Notice as you scan your body and your mind, what's going on for you? Is there tension, apprehension? Is there peace and solitude? Choose, which one do you want? More peace, more joy, more serenity, then feed the peace. Breathe into the serenity inside of you, right here and right now. And allow the discomfort to go on its way, to leave when it's appropriate. As we breathe once again, see where we are in this moment. For everything is a meditation. As you walk down the street and do your to-do list, or relive a phone call that happened in the past, you are meditating on the past. Is that where we want to be? Choose love. Choose to reimagine the phone call in the future.
hear the words. Realize that you are shaping them. You are creating them. You are repeating them. For in you, ash is the one power. So this moment, we elevate ourselves. Elevate ourselves in the blissful silence as we choose love. And while it may feel scary, it may seem difficult, and choosing love may be a solitary path, remember the words that Britt and Leo sang us earlier. For in that song is the eternal truth. You are not ever alone.
I can see the light now.
Just don't let it go. Things will come out right now. We can make it so. So it is.